Okay, so the shir, of course, is dedicated in memory of my mother, Alea Shalom. I want to discuss the topic of the parameters of Kibud Av Em. We know Kibud Av Em is a very, very important mitzvah. And essentially, the mitzvah of Kibud Av Em is to help your parents, to honor your parents. The Gemara, the first source on the sheet, tells us, Ezeu Mora, there's a concept of Mora and a concept of Kibud. Ezeu Kibud, says the Gemara, Mora la omid mukomo, la yoshev mukomo, la soser dvara, velo machrio. The mitzvah of Mora, the Isra Seh, however you formulate it, the concept of Mora Ave'im is not to sit in a parent's seat, to stand where they stand, to argue with them, etc. And then when it comes to Kibud, the Gemara says, Kibud machilo, mashkeyu, malbish, machase, machis, umotzi. So the examples brought here in the Gemara for the concept of Kibud are essentially mitzvot that help the parents in their physical needs, to feed them and to clothe them and to help them if they have a hard time getting around, take them in a wheelchair, etc. And the question I want to analyze, like I said, is the exact parameters of this mitzvah of kavod. So the examples brought are when you essentially help the parents with their physical needs. What about a parent who asks their kid for something that's not connected to their physical needs? The parent says, listen, it's cold outside today. I'm nervous you're going to get a cold. Take a sweater. So are you obligated to take a sweater because your parents asked you to take a sweater, etc.? And there are many, many examples of this. So this is, in fact, a machlokas between the Rishonim. If you look at the Gemara in Yevamos, in Avav, Amud Aleph, the Gemara there is discussing the concept of Esei Dokolosa Sei. And the Gemara quotes a brisa, the Sanya Yakal Yomar lo Aviv Hitama, Usha Omar lo Al Tachsir, a parent who tells their child to mitama lemeis, a kohen, or not to return an aveda, Yakal Yishmala, maybe you should listen to your parent. Your parent said, Tamalomar Ish Aviv Imotiro, Veshapsoset Yishmaru, Kulchem Chayavim Mechvodi. So the Gemara tells us that there's no mitzvah of Kibud Av Em, Makom Isser. Spoke about this one year. The limitation of Isser. So there's no mitzvah of Kibud Av Em if a parent tells you to do an Isser. But what if a parent tells you to do something, it's not an Isser, but it's also not something that's connected to them per se. It's something they tell you to become a doctor. I have a friend who both his parents were doctors, and they wanted their child to be a doctor, very much so. And he didn't want to be a doctor, so is he obligated to listen to his parents, you know, when it's not connected to the parents? So the Rishonim here deal with this issue. If you look at the Ritva, what exactly is the case of a parent who tells his child to be metama lemesim, the kohen, or the parent who tells the child to not to return an aveda? What exactly is going on here? So the Ritva says, Yachal yomar lo aviv hitama, the third source, asher amar lo al taksi, pirush Rashi, asher amar lo kein levatala. The parent has no benefit from the fact that the child will not be in tavla mesim, or the child will not return the aveda, and yet, so that's exactly the question. In Rashi, the havamina is that you should listen to your father, even though the father has no benefit. He says, "Go into a graveyard." You go into a graveyard, not for any particular reason, just because he said. Sounds like you're supposed to listen to your parents because they said. They said. The Ein Anachon says the Ritva. In Kain, Lamal Yishmalah Afilu B'Dvarim Shel Rishus. Why should you listen to your father? Forget about a graveyard. He tells you to walk to the stadium. He didn't tell you to benefit him anyway. He told you to walk to the stadium, pick up a coffee, bring it back for me. Okay, I understand you should do that. But he tells you to do something that's not connected to him. Maybe there's no mitzvah for Kibud Av Em. Koshkin Lasos Avera Olitchos Mitzvah. She Ein Osa Kavod Ela Osa Dovar Lahana Also. So that's the Ritva, and this is like in the Ramban and the Rashba have similar languages, although it's more forceful in the Ritva. The Ritva says explicitly, "She'ein kavod elav osa davar l'hanasa." The mitzvah of kavod is limited to when you benefit your parents. K'davinu hasam kibud av machilo mashkeyo malbisho malbi menalo. He quotes the Gemara we just learned, first source, that the mitzvah, the examples of kibud Av Em, are specifically machilo mashkeyo, things that benefit the parent. L'chein pirush Rabbi Yitam v'ri she'amar leil hitamil kavodi b'shlevasha liyumakam tuma. His father said, "Get me a coffee," and the coffee is in the graveyard. So, or he says, don't return the Aveda, instead, go make me an omelet. Therefore, there's a havamina you should listen to the parents in that case. So we have Machlokas Rishonim here, between Rashi, who says the mitzvah of Kibud Av Em seems to be to listen to anything the parent says, or almost anything. If they tell you to do this, or you don't listen to them. If they tell you to wear a sweater, wear a sweater. They tell you to go to the stadium, go to the stadium. As opposed to the Ritva and many Rishoni Sfarad who say that no, the mitzvah is limited to be mahana apparent. If there's no hana, there's no mitzvah. And that's, in fact, like I said, what the Gemara sounds like in Kiddush Lamed Aleph, where it says, Ezeu kibud, machilo mashkeyu, malbisho machase, machnachash mosi. So the question is that Gemara just an example, or is that specific? Is it, should you take it literally only when you benefit your parent? Or you say, no, those are just more, they're not going to tell you stam to go to, you have a question? Having it wasn't that they told you about Rishut. They told you to go into the graveyard to bring them a coffee. And then I would think that that's included in the Bitsuk of Aim, because you're benefiting.
Is his
no, there's an Aveda on the street, and I'm so I have a mitzvah to do Hashem Aveda. The father says, don't forget about the Aveda, go bring me a coffee. That's more important. So the halacha is you don't listen to your parents, rather you go, you get the Aveda.
So let's try this in the practical approach. Never mind graveyards and coffee, let's talk about insurance. The father's a kohen. The son is a kohen. The father says to the son, so-and-so died, and if we go to there where the kever is, where they're standing now, we get a signature, and they will get the money, and we will get the premium. And in other words, it's not just a cup of coffee,
right.
It's $15,000.
Either way, yeah.
$150,000.
Right.
We're talking about real money. What is the isur for a kohen to be metame? He could be metahir himself afterwards.
There's still a law of el nefesh meis lo sava that you're not allowed to metame, even though he can be tahir after. There is a debate if he's most of tum al tum. For example, today we're tameim, so there is, I think, the day of the raivid that once you're tameim, there's no isur to metame again. But okay, so these are side topics, interesting topics. But in the end of the day, we have a debate here: if the mitzvah, the parameters of the mitzvah kevod aim. Do they include everything, or is it limited to things that benefit the parents? So this is a big machlokas haposkim, how to paskin. If you look at source number 4, I'm going to skip to the achronim, the later rishonim, the Ma'arik is the most famous to discuss this issue. I'll get them soon, but just to discuss the later achronim, the Yad Eliyahu, or the Yahu Rogler, or the Yahu Kalisher. This is a Talmud of Rechaim Volozhiner, 19th century Lita. So he quotes the Rashba. And like I said, the Ritva says the same thing. That's what he quoted. And he says, source number 4, the mitzvah is limited to when you benefit the parent. Says the Yad Eliyahu, it can't be. If your father says, wear a sweater, so of course you have an obligation to wear a sweater. The father has no benefit, a physical benefit from the fact that you wore the sweater. Says the Yad Eliyahu, what does the father need more? A cup of coffee or the emotional satisfaction that his son is not going to get cold? He's nervous his son is going to catch a cold. He says, wear a sweater. So of course it's a mitzvah to wear a sweater. You say it's not just to his anxiety; it's a shtach. It's a la'avar al haras aviv. Afish in la'av hana, yoser kav la'av hatzar. The ena ben choshish la'saraso maknito. Right, the son says, I ignore you. Right, yimashem bnei machil hashgil kaven sh'av. I hear you saying machil la'saraso l'kaima shelo la'avar b'shev al tasa who mamish ikar kivud avim. V'ze atzma who oneg v'hana la'av says the Yad Eliyahu. Even if you're going to focus on the hana, there is hana. The hana is an emotional hana that his child is listening to him. So that's what the Yad Eliyahu says. He's not willing to accept the ritva. If you look at the Meshivas Nafesh, the Meshivas Nafesh is written by Rav Arye Leib Tzinis. He was a Polish gadol, also 19th century. He's very famous because he wrote on his matseva. Yeah, he wrote a lot of books, and he couldn't publish them. He wasn't wealthy enough to publish them, so he had them write on his matseva that if you publish my books, I'll help you in the next world. So people now, if you have like a tzara, there's like a whole machon of the Sifrei Mar Altinitz. You can pay for a publication, and it's going to help you in the next world. Okay. In any case, he has Shias and Shuvas, Meshivas Nafesh, and he writes like this. He thinks that the Ritva is correct. Umnam be emes adavar baruv be midi de loshaya ha'av be gavei ein. Let me just, pardon? Ein Mrs. Kivar Alaven. Umasha huksha lamala mizrikas arniki v'leichlimenu. The Gemara, he had a question, what about the fact that you can't, if your father's throwing away a wallet, you shouldn't embarrass him if he's in front of other people. Al v'chal kivur shelo l'tzara, you see that the mitzvah of kivur includes not to cause tzar to your parent. V'nir at the haynu kshu yachlimenu harehu mitzara b'yadayim. Because then you're actively embarrassing, you should never actively embarrass your parent. V'li ha-ben yo'ik v'hanhagash aviv lo nichalei u'mitzar nafsho enach ben chaya v'zeh. Says the Mishivas Nafesh is the difference if the child actively embarrasses their father. That's certainly a prohibited. But to make my own decisions, my life, I want to be a doctor. I don't want to be a doctor, I want to be a rabbi. My father wants me to be a doctor. So if it's going to cause my parent mental anguish, that's their issue. So says the Mishivas Nafesh, strictly speaking, it's not included in the mitzvah of Kibra Veh. But if a person says, listen, I really don't want to be a doctor, but I'm going to become a doctor because my father wants me to be a doctor, so it's a kiyum mitzvah. It's not a chiyum, it's not an obligation, but it's a kiyum mitzvah. Umaysev der Tarfon, the Havigachin Vesalikal, the Gemara has a fascinating story with Tarfon that his mother had a hard time getting on the bed, so he went down and he had to step on his back to get onto the bed. Obviously, it's the finimish or sedin. It's not necessary for a person to make themselves into a shafraf that somebody should stand on their back. Their father should stand on their back to get on the bed. So even though it wasn't necessary, if he turned himself into a stool and had his father stand on his back to get onto the bed, of course he got schar. So it's not enough of a mitzvah to be doche alos, let's say. It's an obligation. So in contrast to the Aliyahu who said the halacha was you have to listen to everything your parents said, the Mishiv Esnovi says, no, strictly speaking, you don't need to. It's your life, you do whatever you want. But if you do listen, you get tzchar. It's incomprehensible to say that if you listen to your parents, you sacrifice, you become a doctor when you don't want to, you're not going to get tzchar. Of course you'll get tzchar. Question?
I have a question. You're assuming that the Riva would not require him to be machabed the father if it's something that's for shoot.
Right. The Ritva is commenting on the Gemara that has a havamin is listen to your parents when there's an aveira involved. But the Ritva says the havamin doesn't make sense because of course you wouldn't listen to your parents if there was no hana. There's no need to listen to your parents. Must be that there was hana in that case. But it comes out of the Ritva, I think, that if your parent tells you to do something, a dvar shus, and there's no aveira, there's no obligation to listen. He's questioning the Havamin. He's saying the Gemara had a Havamin that you should listen to your father, but Dvar Avera. So it says, the question is, what was the case? Why did he ask you to go to the graveyard? So says the Ritva, if he asked you to go to the graveyard, Stam, you would never have to listen. That's his version of the Ritva. The Ritva says, source number three, second line, yeah. Ein osa kavod. Kavod is limited to when you cause him hana. And therefore he changes the Havamin. And not just Stam to go to a graveyard. It's to go to a graveyard to pick up a coffee. You know, the coffee is in the middle of the graveyard. So that's why there's a Havamin. But if there was no coffee, there's no mitzvah. That's the mitzvah's sheet. Okay. If you look at the Agudas Ezel, source number six, this is Rav Moshe Zev Margolios, a Rav in Bialystok. Excuse me. Just hold on a second. Let me share the screen for those on the Zoom. Okay, it's back, I think. Okay, rather sorry.
Yeah, I see it.
You see it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm
not sure where it went.
Show it was here. It.
Yeah. Here it is. Okay. No. Just 1 second. For some reason, I can't see the.
It's okay.
Here it is. Here it is. Okay. Viseder. So the Gudas Azov, Arav and Bialystok, also, you know, technically Poland, really South Litta, he sides with the Yad Eliyahu. He thinks that, strictly speaking, you have to listen. It will only be Drabanu. Yeshua Gudas Azov, source number 6. Yikom Akom Lashon Rashba Shakasav Shein Bo Esse Shal Torah Yired Al Kopanim Yishvo Mitzvahs Kovid Drabanu. This is a very strange diuk. The Rashba says there's no mitzvah, there's no mitzvah's essay to listen to a parent when they tell you to do something that's not connected to their covenant. Says the Gudas Azov, there's no mitzvah's essay, but there's a mitzvah drabana. Okay. Again, it's hard to say in the Ritzvah. The Ritzvah is very, very explicit. The Rashba is less explicit. He says, So he says initially it's Rabbanan, then tries to limit it, but potentially you might say there's a mitzvah Rabbanan. So we have a range of shitas here. And if you look at the Chazon Ish says something even more astounding. If you look at the second to last line, source number 7, after the Kavanas HaRashba, it's become Chiyuv Hu Min HaTorah. It's Chiyuv Min HaRaisa. Sh'rei Rotzon Ha'av B'Kavod Ha'av U'Moro. Rotzon HaTorah B'Kavod Ha'av U'Moro. L'Sh Ikra Esi Hu B'Kavod Shal Machilo Mashkeyu. K'inin Sh'kasu V'Tosfos D'B'Chatzi Shir. So the Chazon Ish quotes a Tosfos, says there's a concept of Chatzi Shir. You have to listen to your parents all the time. If you are Mahanim, that's the mitzvah, the full mitzvah. And if he tells you to wear a sweater, that's the Chatzi Shir of Kibbut Aveh. So we have over here, to put on the board, a range of opinions. What exactly are the parameters of the mitzvah of kivud av ve'eim? Do we say that it's only hana? That's the shita of the ritva, the shemei svara, the mishivas nafesh assumes that way. It could be there's a kiyum if you do, or do you say if you decide to dechave even when you're not obligated to? Or you might say no, it's really includes everything. It's called davar as a chatishir. Meaning, Rashi seems to say that it includes everything. The father says, go into the graveyard, it's a mitzvah, go into your graveyard. The father says, wear a sweater, it's a mitzvah, wear a sweater. If you don't want to go as far as Rashi, so the Chazon Ish wants to reinterpret the Rashba saying that it's Chatzi Shir. Some want to say the Rashba is saying it's Drabanan. That's the Gudas Azov. And the Yad Eliyahu just sides with the Yad Eliyahu, sorry, on this side, says that it includes everything. Okay, my chart is not that clear, but the upshot is that we have a range of opinions. The Shita of Rashi is that Kibbut Av Ve'eim includes everything. The Yad Eliyahu assumes that's true the halacha. The opposite extreme is the Ritva, who says it's only Hana, and the Meshivas Nafesh assumes that way the halacha. Although he says if you decide to honor your parents, they don't need to, there's a Kiyum. There's sometimes you'll get Schar for it. And then we have these middle opinions, and maybe it's Rabbanan, or maybe it's Doraisa, Benidin, Chatzishu. Yeah?
Speak for a minute about the
Mora of the Aim. So that's the next point I wanted to make. If you look at the Sefer HaMakneh, so it's number 8, Sefer HaMakneh, it's true, it's not included in Kibbut Av Ve'eim. Kibbut Av Ve'eim is only when you bring your father a cup of coffee, or you bring him a coat, or you help him physically. But there's a different mitzvah of Mora of Ve'eim. And included in Mora of Ve'eim, as we saw in the first source, Lo so says tomorrow, you don't argue with your father. Says the Makne, Nira the chol davar shemitzavala aviv, af davar shein av shum hana. She enu bechal kibur. It's not bechal kibur. Filachim enu leben shum hefsin imenu, zeh bechal morif. His son has nothing to lose. Your father said, take a sweater. Take a sweater. It's not, what's the downside? If he tells you to become a doctor, so you're going to spend 8 years of your life becoming a doctor, you don't want to be a doctor, so maybe it wouldn't be included in Mora. But if it's something that you have no sweat, so of course there's a mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah of kibur, it's a mitzvah.
You might be sweating.
You might be sweating. It's okay, I don't know if sweat is such a big deal, but if you put the sweater around your waist.
Everything has an afternoon. I take a sweater, I won't be able to take the thermos.
Okay, the question is, what's the cost-benefit ratio? To what extent is this really impinging on my life? If it's something that's no sweat, if you will, so or a small sweat, so then you should listen, because it's Bechal Mora. If your father tells you something that you don't want to be a doctor, you spent 8 years becoming a doctor, that's not Bechal Mora. Okay. The Chazon Ish also seems to assume that way at the beginning of the source 7 or 7, but I didn't want to highlight that. I really want to highlight the part that he discusses the issue of the Chatzi Shir, etc. So,
without the Rishonim here, would you put the Gemara and Yevamos on that spectrum?
the Gemara in
it's
a very hard Gemara to learn. They're different. You should learn it differently.
Because the Gemara doesn't say anything about that has anything to do with that the father wanted something.
Right, so you could say like Rashi. The problem is the Gemara in...
No, opposite.
If you didn't want anything...
The Havamina.
No, but still, what was the Havamina? The Havamina was, you should listen to your father, even though he has no benefit. He just tells you, go into the graveyard. Right. So man, it's included. Now, when we reject it, what do we reject? Only possibly, it's only rejected because it's an Isser. But if he tells you to go to the stadium, not to the graveyard, there's a mitzvah. That's like Rashi. The problem is the examples in the Gemara in Kedushin... Or machilo, mashkeyo, malbish, machasa, those are hana. So you could say it's a stir on Gemaras if you want. And certainly the mashmos of the Gemara in Kedushin is hana. You might say they're just examples. What's so interesting to me is that if you ask different people in different cultures, you get a very, very different sense. Today in a modern world, 21st century, you ask people, does Kivra Avin include everything? They'll say, what do you mean? Of course not. Like most people today, we educate towards independence, and children should make their own decisions, and you know, even Hechatesi, what's the harmony of the parents that can tell you what to do? Like, well, it's not even like, you know, and then you ask people from other cultures, you know, even our grandparents, let's say in Europe, where you grew up in your grandparents' home, and it was all together. So of course, whatever the grandparents say, you do. I mean, I had this interaction with one of my neighbors. I needed the... something from one of them, and the grandfather was living with them, and the woman says to me, my father said no. And it's nothing to do with the grandfather. My father said no, so it was a Russian woman. So like, what's the Havamina? I said, what's the connection to your father? He said no. So it could be it was just an excuse, but I think it was genuine, meaning in certain cultures, whatever the parents say, whatever the grandparents say, is as Taurus Nisina. And in other cultures, it's not that way. So what does the Torah say about this? So this is a Machlokes Arishonim. Yes.
Are there any sources that speak about, you know, I know there's about parents not meeting their children, but also have lots to do with their meeting their physical needs and teaching them things. Are there any sources about, like, respecting your children?
Of course you should respect your children.
So then the question is, meaning, here we're all wondering,
you're taking notes?
If the parents told the child to do something, so then does the child have to listen or not? But I'm just, like, in theory, the child would have to listen, so then there needs to be some type of training for the parents.
The parents have to have good boundaries. There's no question the parents have to have good boundaries. The question is, those parents don't have good boundaries. And they tell you... Of course, I mean, even in Kavod HaRav, the Rambam says, Kashem, there's a mitzvah on the Talmud to respect the Rebbe. So, too, the Rebbe has to respect the Talmud. It's pashut. So, it has to be hadadi.
There's a source about the parent not hitting the child that might cause...
Lifnei Iver to hit your adult children because they might hit back. In our generation, even, you know, young children you shouldn't hit because, you know, it's considered counterproductive. Okay. So, as you can imagine, the Shailas and Tshuva Shailas, Svarim, are filled with Shailas about this. So I want to discuss a couple of examples. And just to, you know, whet your appetite, I'm not going to get to all these examples, but the Agudas Ezo was talking about a case where the child wanted to be Machmer Chadash. Machmer Chadash was a very hard thing to do in Europe. And the father says no. So the part of the question is really Aser. So let's assume it's not really Aser. So your father says, I don't want you to have a difficult life. I want you to be able to eat fresh bread. I don't want you to have to, you know, only eat matzahs. So, and the father says, no. So you have to listen. Or the Shevet Levi has a Shaila, Halacha L'maisa. His father said, don't drink coffee. Now, why did he say not drink coffee? Is it that he thought it was dangerous? Is it that it was unhealthy? Or just, he said, I don't like you drinking coffee. Or before they knew it was unhealthy to smoke. The father says, don't smoke. The advice of the Baruch Ber. I don't know if it's true. I mean, I believe it because it's about Rebach Ber, but it's a strange maisa. Apparently, his father told him not to smoke. Okay, not because they didn't know it was unhealthy. Just don't mention it. Don't smoke. And Reb Chaim offered him a cigarette. Reb Chaim used to smoke, Reb Chaim offered the Rebbe offered a cigarette. So he took the cigarette and he walked around with the unlit cigarette in his hand because his father told him not to smoke, and his Rebbe offered him a cigarette. So now again, it doesn't make so much sense because Lachari just tell your Rebbe, my father said not to smoke, I'm sure he would put the cigarette away. He wouldn't require that he would. Okay, so I don't know if it's a true story or not, but either way, that's part of the question. Now, if you, like I said, the sugya really starts in the later Rishonim with the Ma'arik, Rav Yosef Mikolon. Kuf Samach Vav. So he discusses the following question, source number 9. Vasher Nistapak to Im Yesh Koach Yarav Limchos Biyad Bino Lisa Isha Sheyachbotzba. A man comes home, he tells his parents, I want to marry Rachel. I want to marry Rachel. And they say, Rachel? We don't like Rachel. We don't want you to marry Rachel. So what does the son have to do? Lanias Daita Nira, Sheim Hi Isha Hogenes Lo, she's a Isha Hogenes, Sheim Koch Biar Av Limchos Biar Haben, the father can't tell the child not to marry Rachel. And he gives three reasons. And this is the question. Do you need all three reasons, or is one sufficient? The first reason says, the Marik, Chadad Afilu Inin Mamon, Odi Le Rabban and Le Rab Yirmiya, Kaman Damar Mishal Av. Chaim Paschal Poske Alachos Asher Isi. Koshkin Hakash Hu Dover Shashaych Betzar de Gufe, Laniach Isha, Sher Chafitz Bavit Sarich Kakasisha Keres, Asher Loti Shire Beinav, Kolkach. So the first point the Marik says is that we know that Kivra Ve'em is Mishael Av, meaning when your father says, I'm thirsty, bring me a coffee, so you have the right to say, no problem, Dad, give me the credit card and I'll go buy the coffee. You don't have an obligation to spend your own money for Kivra Ve'em if your parents have money. So says the Marik, a simple cheshvan, says the Marik, that if you have to, you know, you finally found your Eishes Chayil, and now you have to, you know, your father says he doesn't like her, so you have to find a different woman to get married, that would be like a complete, that would be like Michelle Ben. It would be like asking you to spend your own money, if you will, and therefore it's not included. Okay, but the Karav Adar Ve'ena Lios Kemitzvah Nesav Al Avro Dibet Torah says the Marik, it's like asking your child to do an Avera. Shari Amruch Vaseinu Asu Adam Shikadish Isha Achi Yerena. You have to like your wife. So if you like Rachel and your father says, no, marry Leah, so it's like asking you to do an Isser, because you're not going to live with Shalom Bayis with Leah because you don't like her. So it's like your father asking you to do an Isser. We know that there's no mitzvah given aim when he tells you to do an Isser. So those two reasons are the first two things the Marik says. And then he says a third thing, which is relevant for us. Says the Marik, like the Ritva, the mitzvah of Kibbutz Ha'aim is to mahana your parents. And who you marry is your business, it's not their business. If they ask for food, they ask for clothing, ask for shelter, there's a mitzvah. It's not within the purview of the mitzvah to tell you who to marry. So the Marik's third point is exactly what the Ritva said. And the Marik is accepted the halacha, but the problem that I'm going to deal with is whether or not the Marik said this as a standalone reason. Did he really pass on like the Ritva? Or on this case, there are two other specific mahakil. In this case, it's also Michel Ben, and it's also as if your parents asked you to do an Isser, because marrying somebody you don't want is like an Isser. And that's the big question in the postgame. Yeah. Question? Okay.
Why didn't you quote the
Ritva? Pardon?
Why didn't you quote the
Ritva? It's a long shuva. I don't think he quoted the Ritva. Okay, he come at it, and it could be he found it on his own. You know, it's a Ferish Gemara, Machilo Ashkayot. It's a pretty Ferish Gemara. The Ritva had a whole, you know, Cheshbin in the Gemara Yevamos. It sounded more like Rashi, but you don't need to go to Ritva. Just the Gemara in Kedushin sounds like, if you don't assume it's just an example, you assume that's the Hagdara, Machilo Ashkayot, anything that's Hana. So, if you look here at the Greek Perlau, Rav Yeruchim Fishel Perlau, in his parish to the Sefer Mitzvahs of Sadigon, source number 10, he says, "V'onam be'ikar divi marik shehichli tevchol midi l'shayach av v'gavei lest pei lo mishum kavod lo mishum mora." Right? It's interesting. The Marik pointed out that there's no kavod or mora, meaning the maknas taina was it's true there's no kavod, but it's bechal mora l'soser dvarav. Tells you to wear a sweater. You tell him, "I don't want to wear a sweater." That's soser dvarav. The Marik says it's not mora. It's not included in mora. It's also not included in kavod. So says the Rav Yeruchim Fishel Perlau. Ki im yesh lo makor niftach medivrei rishonim. Sheveitz, he quotes, the Rechem Fishel Perla quotes the Ritva, and he quotes the Rashba, and the Rishonim Svarni of Amos, and he says, it's true that they say that, but then he says, it's astounding. Sarach Ion tuveitzli mi ayin raglaim lo markein. Even though he quotes all the Rishonim who say this, the majority of the Rishonim say there's no mitzvah kivet of aim if there's no hana. The Rishonim Svarad and the Marik, and he says, Echateisi, v'amai lo neima, Hagufa Hana he lo b'mashet dvar dishmoyim levanav v'tzasina lei. There is Hana. Hana isn't just a cup of coffee. Hana is the emotional satisfaction that I said wear a sweater and you wore a sweater. That emotional satisfaction is like a cup of coffee, says the Rav Perlau. V'ritzono shel adam zeh kibudo. Whatever you want is your kavod. V'gam be'ikra davar minali be'inan sheyelo Hana. Who said you need Hana? Hare ein lanu v'kra ela kavod d'chsiv kavod izvicha. The pasuk doesn't say kavod. I the Gemara. Okay, that's just an example. V'chol mashu kavod v'chol mitzvah. V'vadei d'chol adam mischavid mash d'varad nishmaim. A person is mischavid v'advash d'varad nishmaim. So again, Rav Perlow is willing to take on all the Rishonim. Misvara. And he says, I'm going to side with Rashi because I think the kavod includes listening to your to having your child listen to you is better than a cup of coffee. And there's a mitzvah to bring a cup of coffee. There's also a mitzvah to listen to whatever your parents say. Now, like I said, this Ma'arik is quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. That you don't listen to your parent if they tell you not to marry a particular person. But the poskim wonder if this is an example and the third reason the Ma'arik is a standalone reason, or maybe it's only coupled with the other two tainas in the Ma'arik, and you couldn't extrapolate to other cases. Now, the Shuta Rosh, the next marker on the sheet, is dealing with a child who is in a family, and there's some sort of family feud with another family. And the child wants to make up with the other family. But the father says, no, don't be mokalim. We're in a family feud. We have to continue this feud. So the Rosh says, "Shalta av should sivo livno shelo yidavrim Yehudi af echad v'liimcholo, ma she'asa ad zman katzuv. Haben chafetz lispayis imo elish achoshish le'tzavas av." So the child wants to make up, but he's nervous. The father said, "Don't make up." Dash aser lisno shum Yehudi. It's aser to hang another Jew. Imlo sheyiru over avera. Va'av should sivo lisno lo lav kol kiminu l'tzavas over al divrei Torah. The father tells you not to be mochel. It's like telling you to eat chazer. The father is like a Russia almost. Which is a machlokas rishon if there's a mitzvah to keep it abeim, but by a Russia. So the Rosh says that if your father tells you not to be mochel somebody, you don't listen to him. Why? What's the reason? Because it's aser. You have to be mochel. What could the Rosh have said? He's essentially quoting the Gemara. Okay, that's interesting that it's not the same drasha. But what could he have said? If the mitzvah of aim was limited to hana, he could say it's all within the mitzvah. Why does the Rosh have to go and tell you it's an iser? Right. If the mitzvah of aim, and the problem is that this Rosh is brought down the halacha, the Mari quotes it, and it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch also. So this is where the poskim say, listen, if we really hold the Ma'arik's third reason as a standalone reason, you wouldn't need to tell me that you don't listen to your father because he's telling you to do an iser. Just you don't listen to your father because it's not his business. Who your mochel is not, you're not bringing him a cup of coffee. If it's not a cup of coffee, there's no mitzvah. So if you look here at the Gudas Ezov, a continuation of the tshuva I quoted earlier, the Gudas Ezov quotes, so whatever is really not your business, then you don't have to listen to your father. She's an appropriate woman. Whatever is not his business is not included in the mitzvah. So that's a good is a very interesting and potentially significant hara. He's saying that, just a second, if it's not your father's business, then there's no mitzvah. But things that affect the father is his business. So if you want to marry Rachel, it's supposed to Leah, what's the difference? But let's say you don't want to marry Rachel, you want to marry Isha Ein Hogenes. I know of a case, a very sad case, where a nice woman fell in love with a wonderful Ger Tzedek. And he was actually an African American. And the father said, from my dead body. And Lachara, the Marik is right, that the Hekatesi, again, it's part of this question is how you look at a Ger. You know, in our culture, today, Ger is one of the most wonderful people I know are gay. You know, I don't think if I was a guy, I would convert. You know, people are very genuine, change their mind, it's wonderful. But a person who has a more European view, a Kabbalistic view, so he's a ger, but still his neshama came from all sorts of dark places and whatever and this and that and the racism and all sorts of things that don't speak to us today. But for other people, it's part of their culture, it's part of who they are. So from his perspective, my daughter wants to marry somebody who's not hogay. So therefore, I do have to put my foot down. But needless to say, when you put your foot down in these cases, you usually end up losing because
it's
you know.
To listen to his father because it's low to
Well, similar to, yeah, right? The Yeshiva Shlomo Zalman once pointed out that, you know, the question, you know, in Shiduchim, you tell everything right up front. You say, so Gioris didn't want to say right up front. So Shlomo Zalman said, of course you should say up front. It's a Maila. There's a mitzvah of your wife. So if your wife's like Gioris, so it's not a mitzvah. So, okay. Interesting perspective. But either way, the Gunas Ezov is saying that we hold the Marik. But the Marik is limited. Why is the Marik limited? The Marik says, if it's not something that's going to cause him tsar. But the minute it causes him tsar, this is very, very, you know, cloudy. How do you exactly define this? You know, well, a person says, I really want my son to be a doctor because I built up a practice. I want him to take over the practice. So, okay, so it's going to cause me tsar. But, like, is it really your business if he becomes a doctor or a lawyer or a rabbi? Come on, give me a break. Where do you draw the line? It's not clear at all. The way he presents it is that if it wasn't the Isha Ogenes, so then really it would be legitimate, even for the Marik, which isn't, you know, clear at all. And even if we assume this way, where draw the line is certainly very, very questionable. Another example, Truma Tadeshen, source number 13, he's discussing the question of going to learn in a different country. You live somewhere and you want to go learn somewhere else. But the parents are afraid that if you go to that country, it might be dangerous, there's terrorism, there's whatever. So it's going to cause, they won't be able to sleep at night. So is it legitimate to tell your kids, study, there's yeshiva here, don't go over there, there's yeshiva over here. That's the next guy. I mean, the fifth source 15 is Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. But let's say you don't want to go to, let's say he's living in America and he wants to go learn in Europe, you know, 100 years ago. So don't go to Europe, it's dangerous there. You know, there are pogroms. So is that legitimate? There are many great yeshivas in Europe. People went from New York to Lemire. They went from New York to Slobodka. I don't want you to go to Slobodka. Learn here in, you know, Yitzchak Chana. Is that legitimate? So it says the Truma Tadeshen, Talmid Shirotza Lotzis Vidinasa Lulma Torah Livnei Rav Echad Shu Boteach Shiyira Simen Brachal Afanov. Vizkev Talmud Lulma Limenu. But Aviv Mocha Batokas, the father says no. The son says, you're going to cause me distress. I won't be able to sleep at night. You're going to get caught by the authorities. You're going to get abused. What should the son do? Should he go study in another country or should he listen to his father? Tshuva, says the Tshuva Sadesh. You don't have to listen to your father. Okay, so it goes to a whole raya. You don't have to listen because Talmud Torah is greater than Kibra Meir. What quarter of the Truma Sedeshin said? If the Truma Sedeshin held as the third reason of the Marik, the Truma Sedeshin would have said, your father tells you not to go study in Europe because he thinks it's dangerous. The Marik would say, the third reason the Marik would say, it's very nice. If he asks me for a cup of coffee, I'll bring you a cup of coffee. But he's asked telling me where to go study. That's not his business. It's outside the purview of the mitzvah. And this also is brought down the halach in the Shulchan Aruch. So because of these two reasons, the Shut HaRosh and the Truma Sedeshin, the being brought by the Shulchan Aruch, later Achorim assumed that the reason of the Marik is not a standalone reason. And that you need a tseruf of other reasons, question of tseruf of two or one, in order to allow a child not to listen to parents. Just another example of this briefly, the Beis Yosef, source number 14, because of Oed B'Shem Rav Arbenu Meir, she mitzvah lis anos b'yom shemes aviv, there's a mitzvah to fast on the yahrzeit, u mitzvah lomar kaddish, the mitzvah say kaddish al imo, b'chai aviv. So once upon a time, people were more superstitious, so the father doesn't want the kid to say kaddish, because it's like a bad omen. That if he's saying kaddish, maybe the father's going to die. But the father's wife, the mother, died. So the son wants to say kaddish on the mother. And the father says, don't say kaddish on the mother. So what do you do in this case? So say vim aviv makpir afa pish imo astol tzava lomer mishvila kavar av kodem lekavar ein. So here too, the Rabbeinu Meir says that you should listen to your father who's still alive, and not say kaddish, even though the mother would want you to say kaddish, because kavar av is kodem lekavar ein, and also the kavar av is b'chaim, the kavar ein is achar misa, etc. So here too, is it really your father's business? If you say Kaddish, he's not telling you, not saying Kaddish instead of bringing you a cup of coffee. You're just saying Kaddish. It bothers your father emotionally that your son is saying Kaddish. He thinks it's a bad sign. Maybe he's going to drop dead. So he says, don't say Kaddish on your mother, on my dead body. Right? If it was on his dead body, he could say Kaddish. Okay. But, so why would you listen to your father and not say Kaddish? So the assumption is the Kibbutz Aim includes L'chora is in kivun, or is in mora, and he's sosir dvarav. And maybe it's, he said, don't say kaddish, you're saying kaddish, you're sosir dvarav. Either way, the assumption of many of the mefarshim is that kivun ha'ein does expand to include things that aren't, strictly speaking, hana for the parent. Getting back to the point that was raised about Eretz Yisrael, your father says, don't make aliyah. So if you look at the shuv of Ravadia and Yechavadas, the summary, b'sikum, mitzvah yishuv Eretz Yisrael ein aruch aleh, it's a wonderful mitzvah, shehi shkula keren kol ha-mitzvah shebetorah, v'miyuchad shekavano disah shev Eretz Yisrael she-mitzvah, kaim v'kol mitzvah to his part. So Eretz Yisrael is a very, very special mitzvah. L'chei, im tzivau aviv shelo la'alos, your father says, don't make aliyah, al yishmolo. Right? If you're already in Eretz Yisrael, your father says, come back, you don't have to listen to him. Shavali also lishmolo. So again, why does Ravadia have to say that you shouldn't listen to your father because he's telling you to listen? He should just tell you that you shouldn't listen to your parents because they're not asking you to bring them a cup of coffee. It's not a physical hana. All these poskim are assuming the kivud aveim is more expansive than the examples brought in Maseches Kedushin, Machilo, Mashkeyo, Malvisho, Machnizo, and that you really fundamentally should listen to your parents even when they're discussing things that aren't, strictly speaking, connected to Hana for the parents. Lastly, Tshuva, the Maram Lublin, fascinating discussion of Ashar Kalisa, just a little background. If a person dies without having children, so there's a din of chalitza. The wife has to do the chalitza ceremony with her brother-in-law. Now, this, unfortunately, was sometimes used as a as leverage, meaning the brother would say, listen, I'll do chalitza, just give me $10,000. There was something called, to avoid this type of extortion, the chachamim devise something called the shtar chalitza, whereby the brother of the future chassan took a shvua and a cherim b'shvua that he will give chalitza free of charge. He's not going to try to, you know, play these games and try to, you know, squeeze his sister-in-law for the ability to be chalitza. Now, the Maharam Lublin was asked the following question. Somebody was about to get married, and it was a very wealthy family. Now, the family didn't want to give a big dowry because they were afraid if the husband dies, so the brother-in-law is going to play this game and take all the money. I'll only give you the chalitza if you give me the entire dowry. So the father said, listen, you know, your brother wants to get married. I want you to write to do a shah chalitza, to accept upon yourself a cherem v'shvua, that you'll give a chalitza free of charge, in order that the family will give your brother a nice dowry. And the son says, no, I'm not interested. Says the Maharam Lublin, pshita de'ena ben chayav lasos ma'isa liten shah chalitza v'china, mishum de mitzvos kibud. Nearly the nido didan eino klal, lo b'chlal morav, lo b'chlal kibud, afilu mandama rishal ben, demora hayu dafka lo yeshiv mekomo. Kibud machilu mashkeyu. Says the Maharam Lublin, the mitzvahs are very limited. Mora is sitting in a seat. Here you're not sitting in a seat. Kavod is bringing him a cup of coffee. Here there's no coffee. Aval b'nido didan, she'eno shum kavod l'gufo shal av. And she'rosu she'itin b'no agad lo shtar chalitza l'achiv, k'dei l'hashir is b'no akadu rimenu. The father wants his son to get a big dowry. The family will only give the dowry if the shah chalitza is written. Says the Maharam Lublin, the brother has no obligation to do it for free. Shai they say if there's a lot of dunya, it's a klal klal kibud aveim. Chiyotz is a mamish kasa vari kolon shorish kuf samachov. So he quotes the Mari kolon, quotes the Rav Yosef kolon, the third reason, and he assumes it's a standalone reason. Here, you know, for us, for a modern person, it seems like it's extortion. It's disgusting. Well, the brother's going to take advantage of the unfortunate sister-in-law now is an almana, and now he's going to squeeze out every last penny for her in order to give her a chalitza. The man's a rasha. Says the Maharam Lublin, listen, it's his business. You have no right as a parent to tell your son what to do. You can't tell him to write a shtar chalitza to promise that he's going to. So you have to see that even though from a modern perspective it strikes us as being obvious, it's your life, do what you want. But you take this to the extreme, so you get to really strange realities where the father is telling the son to do something that's very musari and very legitimate and very normal, and the son says, listen, it's not your business. So you have to balance this. So just to conclude, I'll read a sifin Shulchan Aruch. Also, Adam lechachbir ula albana v'ledakte v'chodan imayim. So, as mentioned before, you need to balance. You have to have healthy boundaries. You have to, on one hand, recognize as your parents and try to mechaber them as much as you can. And again, whether or not we hold like the Ma'arik, it seems like most poskim don't, even though there are many Rishonim, Rishonim Sfarad, who hold that way, and the Ma'arik quotes it. But it seems like the accepted accepted, again, it's Machlokas Achronim, like I pointed out. The Marim Lublin takes the third reason of the Marik as a standalone reason. Likewise, the Meshivas Nafesh assume that way. But many poskim assume that really, even though there is no Hana, still it's in the spirit of the law, at the very least, and maybe even within the letter of the law on some level, even with Rabbanan, or maybe even in Chatzishir, to listen, or at least as a kiyum. So you should try to have healthy boundaries, balance the various needs. I can say of my mother, Allah Shalom, is that she was a person who had very healthy boundaries, and that she really gave the kids space to grow. And it's not easy. As a parent, I realize that, you know, you think you're right, and you know you're right, and you try to impose, and usually it backfires, you know, because the minute you enter into a power struggle, usually you're really lost. But the ability to recognize the child as their own person and to give them that space and that unconditional love, something that's very special, something that my mother gave to us, and with my father, of course, and we hope we'll be able to give to our children as well. I want to thank everybody for coming, and I'm going to make a siyum now on the second.